Essential Pittsburgh, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Earlier this week, Pope Francis made what some called revolutionary comments about gays and women, including this statement during an in-flight news conference on his way back home from Brazil when he was asked about a trusted Monsignor who reportedly once had a gay lover. The Pope's reply, when it comes to the sexual orientation of priests, who am I to judge? As long as they're searching for God and have goodwill. I'm joined now by the Most Reverend David Zubik, Bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. Bishop Zubik, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, Paul, it's good to be with you and with all of your listeners today. Hope everybody's having a decent summer.
Oh, well, we all appreciate that. I'm curious what your reaction was to the comments by Pope Francis that have really made headlines.
Well, I think probably the thing that makes headlines is that what the Pope really said is something that I think the Church has been saying all along, but people maybe for the first time have heard it because Pope Francis, as a pastor, I think speaks a language that we can all understand. You know, as I've been thinking about all the attention that's been given to his comments this week, I've been noting the difference between his two previous predecessors. You know, Pope John Paul II was a philosopher, and so when he wrote and spoke like a philosopher. Pope Benedict was a theologian, and when he wrote and spoke, he wrote in the lingo of theology. But Pope Francis is a pastor, and I think he knows the lingo of all of us common ordinary men and women. You know, I think the first thing I'd want to say, you know, when the question was raised about the Monsignor whom you made reference to, I think it's important to note that the Pope said that he did an investigation, and none of the accusations that people posted really proved to be true, and he did a very thorough investigation on that. But that did lead to the next question that he raised about, you know, homosexuality and people who are gay. And I don't think, even though he made his comments about a possible priest who would be gay, I think he meant his comment for anybody. And I think both in terms of people who have heterosexual inclination and people who have a homosexual inclination. And see, I think that's the distinction that we need to listen to when the Pope finished off his statement by saying, who am I to say if somebody is following God's will with good intent? Because I think, if you go back and take a look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church that came out about 25 years ago, and all the teachings of the Catholic Church, the distinction has always been between orientation and lifestyle. And I think that the Catechism stated it clearly, but Pope Francis made it absolutely clear on the plane that we absolutely have to have full respect for every single person, doesn't matter what sexual inclination a person has. Where the rubber hits the road, if you will, is in terms of listening to what God's will is and following it. And so the same expectations of a person who is homosexual are the same expectations of a person who's heterosexual. You know, that in terms of people recognizing the sacred power of sex is something that comes under the umbrella of what God sees as coming under the umbrella of his love and his creativity of each of us as women and men. And so I think when he was making reference to the possibility of some priest being homosexual, he was basically saying, it's important to say that if they're following the disciplines of what God's word calls for, then there's no judgment that's rendered. It's when somebody's going to act out and do something that would be against what is God's will that presents the moral dilemma for the person who makes that choice. But the orientation question is, I think, the point he was trying to make. We have to be able to respect every single person and not hold any prejudices against anybody for any reason, but in this case, around a person's, sexual inclinations.
I saw a piece where a church historian by the name of Alberto Maloney said that with regard to the Pope's comments and his actions, that he is restoring credibility to Catholicism. I'm not sure if you heard that comment, but as you're hearing it now, what is your reaction to that?
Well, I haven't heard the statement, but I will say this. He certainly has caught the attention of a heck of a lot of people, and not just Catholics, and not just believers either. You know, I mix and mingle with a heck of a lot of people in southwestern Pennsylvania, and I know that many people are excited about the kind of leadership that Pope Francis is offering. You know, because he's helping people to look at things in ways in which they never would have looked at them before. You know, for example, for us as priests, you know, every year the most sacred day for all of us as priests is Holy Thursday, because that's the day that Jesus instituted the priesthood. And when Pope Francis spoke to all the priests of the world, he said this. He said, if you're going to be a good shepherd, you better know the odor of your sheep. And, you know, when you take a look at that image, what he was basically saying is, if you're going to be a good shepherd, you got to know your people. You got to know their struggles. You got to try to meet them where their struggles are. You got to talk to them in a way that is that they can understand. And, you know, he can preach that, but especially what gives credence to it is because he's living it.
There was a recent interview with the Archbishop of Philadelphia, basically your counterpart on the eastern side of the state.
Archbishop Chaput.
Yes, mm-hmm. Charles Chaput. And he said that right-wing Catholics generally have not been very happy with Francis. What are you hearing from your followers, from the members of the Catholic Church here in Pittsburgh?
I mean, literally, Paul, people are very excited. I have not heard one person, either Catholic or non-Catholic, speak disparagingly about Pope Francis. You know, and I think that, you know, one of the things that's always important for us is, like, you know, when we start to categorize people to the left or the right, or people, you know, who are Orthodox or not Orthodox, I think, you know, we do damage to what Jesus is calling us to be one. I mean, we may be different, but the reality is that, you know, to put people in camps doesn't do the church, or doesn't do our mission as followers of Jesus Christ any favors. I think, you know, we've got to be able to, like, take a look at the fact that we've got a leader who's, like, you know, trying to fire up our souls so that we can really be attentive to each other. And I think his message over and over and over again is how important it is for us to look for the person of Jesus in every person that we meet, how important it is for us to recognize above everything else God's mercy, and recognize that each one of us, you know, needs to receive God's mercy, but we also need to give it. And I think that's the thing that I think is catching a lot of people's attention, and especially because of the very sincere way in which he's reaching out to everybody, but especially to the poor. If anybody had a chance to see any of the coverage of the Pope when he was in Rio de Janeiro last week, I like to comment and saying that he was like a kid in the candy store. You know, he couldn't go more out of his way to really touch people's hearts, and even to touch them physically by, you know, kissing babies and making sure that he hopped out of the Pope mobile to pay particular attention to a person with disabilities, or just was there for all those people that came out to be with him, more than 3 million people who came out to be with him. And I think if Jesus were living in our day, I think he'd be doing the same thing.
We're talking with the Most Reverend David Zubik, Bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. One of the other things that Pope Francis spoke about was he challenged the women to get more involved in the church. He said there needs to be more of an involvement in the Catholic Church with female leadership. What was your feeling about that?
Well, you know, I want to say something else. I think that he may not only have challenged women to get more involved in the church, I believe he's also challenging the church to have women become more involved in the church. You know, and I think that, you know, there we have so many wonderful women in the Diocese of Pittsburgh that have really stepped up to the plate in their own parishes. And I've made it a concerted effort that when I'm filling positions of senior staff in my cabinet, that, you know, I look for women who have tremendous gifts and talents. And boy, does that bring a nice sense of balance, but I think a great sense of creativity to the work we have to do in the church. And I think that's part of what the Pope was saying. I mean, he did indicate, and, you know, I think it's only fair to say that, you know, he reemphasized the fact to say that that would not mean the ordination of women as priests. And he said that's already been something that has a long history, goes back to the time of Jesus, and it certainly has been reasserted by Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict. And on the plane, he reasserted it himself. But I think what he's basically saying, you know, you don't have to be ordained to offer great contributions to the church. And I think that certainly applies, you know, to women, and it also applies to men as well, too.
Is a lot of this reinforcing the idea that we're seeing a very different papacy underway in these last few months?
We are seeing a very different papacy. And I think it's because of the model of his leadership. You know, I have deep love and respect for Pope John Paul II and for Pope Benedict, but Pope Francis, you know, is a pastor. And that's the way he handled his ministry when he was the Archbishop in Buenos Aires, and that's the way he's handling it as you know, as Pope. You know, the fact that he chose not to live in the Apostolic Palace, you know, the fact that, you know, he comes down to the cafeteria in the Santa Marta and has you know, and eats with the, you know, the workers who are there. I think those are just the signs of who he is, and he's bringing, you know, his particular charism as a pastor to his leadership in the church. And I think that in doing that, what he's also doing is speaking to the hearts of all of us as the, and I mean this with due respect, with all of us, you know, as common, you know, ordinary women and men of the world.
I mentioned what was happening in Philadelphia and that Charles Chaput, the archbishop there, was having to address the concerns of some Catholics who are not happy with Francis, who are not happy with some of the bold and different steps that he's taking. When you are confronted with that, how do you respond to people?
Well, you know what? I can tell you how I have to respond to it myself. You know, I get about 300 pieces of mail a day. And I can tell you that many of the letters I get are from people who aren't happy campers, people who don't like, you know, decisions that I may have to make. And I think my response to them, you know, and I try to be a pastor as well, is to show that the conviction that I have for the church, it cannot be imprisoned by an ideology. It has to be motivated by what the gospel calls me to do as a leader in the church. And that certainly is, you know, ratcheted up many times more so because of the Pope. And, you know, I think that if people will once again try to put people in boxes, or, you know, if they don't like something the Pope says or something the Pope does, and they make a judgment, you know, about him and want to, you know, dismiss his own leadership, then I have to say I think it's sad when certain folks would want to take that kind of an approach. Because, you know, that does not allow for, you know, the shepherd to really lead us as sheep in the direction of becoming more like Jesus.
So is this part of a general evolution that the Catholic Church is worldwide is undergoing?
Well, because he's a worldwide leader, I certainly would say so. I mean, I think, you know, his influence is worldwide, you know, and it's not only within the church. It's certainly in terms of the way he relates with everybody, you know, whether he's relating with leaders of government or he's relating with, you know, the people who are in the poorest sections of Rio de Janeiro, as we saw last week. You know, I think the expression, what you see is what you get, is exactly what's happening when we see Pope Francis in action. And that's delightful, you know, because I think you and I know full well that there are times when people who are in the public are different in the public than they are in private. And I think that you can take it to the bank to know that Pope Francis is genuine in what he does publicly, because that's who he is in private.
And we talked about the new Pope a few months back.
We did.
And none of this seems to be a surprise at all to you.
No, it's not, because I think what I want to reiterate, Paul, is this, that what Pope Francis is saying and what he is doing are things that the church has been saying and doing for years. But because the manner in which he is saying these things and the manner in which he's doing it is catching people's attention, I think it's exciting. I think because I think it shows people who maybe have made judgments against the Catholic Church to be out of date to see that, no, that's not at all what we're about. And what we're about are exactly the same kind of energy that the Pope has.
We have been speaking with the Most Reverend David Zubik, Bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. Bishop Zubik, it's a pleasure visiting with you again, and thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
You're welcome, and look forward to the next time, Paul, and all your listeners as well. God bless.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up on 90.5 WESA.